Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. Coming up, new discounts are available at Walt Disney World. A guest hits a security guard in a dispute over masks. Rumors are floating about DCL's plans to reopen. Some new dining options are opening up in the parks. And SeaWorld is permanently laying off some of its staff. All that coming up next. From the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida, this is the Diz Unplugged. The Diz Unplugged is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel. Let the experts at Dreams Unlimited Travel help you plan your next Disney vacation. Dreams agents are committed to giving you honest and unbiased advice and helping you plan a magical vacation your family will remember for years. Visit us on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. And by Magic Candle Company. Magic Candle is the leader in theme park inspired candles, wax melts, fragrance oils, and much more. Bring a little bit of the magic into your home with Magic Candles. Use code DISNEYINFO at checkout and receive 15% off your order every time. That's MagicCandleCompany.com. Hello, everyone, and welcome. Coming to you from the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida for episode 1094. We're redoing last Tuesday, collapsed. So we're trying it again. Episode 1094 for the week of September 7th, 2020, coming to you live from the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida. I'm your host, Pete Werner, joined this week at the table here in the studio by realtor extraordinaire, Mr. Sean Falk.
Hi.
Agent extraordinaire, Ms. Teresa Eccles.
Hey.
And look at that new hair. Because you're gonna watch a pre-recorded episode in a little bit where her hair doesn't look like that. Because I shamed her when she was here.
Oh, you did. I would have been thinking about it all summer.
It looks
you were just
phenomenal.
The tipping point.
It looks phenomenal.
It's different.
Joining us via Skype, Mr. John Magi.
Hi, everybody.
Mr. Kevin Close.
Hi, everyone.
And the man who runs our cdisney.com site from Medellin, Colombia, Mr. Federico Argar.
Hola, hola.
Okay, now you gotta speak English. No, I'm kidding.
that's hello.
We're gonna have to put subtitles up. I'm kidding. All right. Well, welcome to the show, folks. Obviously, we're doing this right now as part of our 12-hour marathon to raise money for Give Kids the World. But of course, all of these shows, as we always do, are going to be available individually on our YouTube channels. If you are watching us on Diz Unplugged, on the Diz Unplugged YouTube channel, do us a favor right now. Go ahead and hit that like button and go ahead and hit that subscribe button. That helps us out with YouTube, with the algorithm. So do us a favor, hit that like button, whatever. Just hit the damn like button. All right. Let's get started. John, I'm going to come over to you to talk about. Now, these discounts were new when we were going to talk about them last week. They're not quite as new now, but we also do have some perspective on them and how they've performed. So, I'm going to let you go ahead and talk about that.
Excellent. Right. As Pete said, this is a redo of last week's show. So if you were watching live during the last time we talked about the discounts, the show got terminated, so it never went up as a show. So if I am repeating myself, I apologize.
There are people out there who want to know about that family from West Virginia.
I know. I'm going to make it a donation thing. If you want to know about the family from West Virginia, you got to donate money. All right. So two really big, really important announcements from Walt Disney World. Discounts were released a week ago, and they're called Magic is Here. Both of them are being branded as Magic is Here. One is the Magic is Here package, and that is save up to $500 U.S. dollars on a four-night, four-day room and ticket package at select Disney Resort hotels, valid for most days, September 4th through December 25th, 2020. Book by December 25th, 2020. Again, what's pretty remarkable about this discount is that the amount of days it encompasses and that there are no blackout dates or blackout dates. The savings will vary depending on the resort you stay in. So deluxe villas and deluxe resorts get the $500 off the package. Moderates $250, values $100, and even campsites, which is kind of unheard of.
Yeah,
campsites
really
never go on sale. That's about a $15 per night savings on that package. There are some exclusions. And I also want to make sure that folks know that these still fall under the Book with Confidence promotion that Disney has going on. So that if your plans change for any reason whatsoever, either a Disney-imposed change or your own personal reason for changing, the change and cancellation fees will be waived to the date of check-in for arrivals through December 31st, 2020. One of the things I've asked my agents is, what do you want folks to know about these discounts? What's the important thing you want to emphasize? And that this has to be a package. And this has to have tickets. So if you're an annual pass holder or something like that, or if you already purchased tickets, this particular discount cannot be applied to you. Great savings, some really, really great savings. This sort of flat rate off is something we've never seen before, so pretty cool. All right, so the second one up in the Magic is Here discount is a state-specific discount. You have to be a resident of one of these 10 states to get this discount: Alabama, Georgia, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Virginia, and West Virginia. Save up to 30% on rooms at select Disney Resort hotels. Same dates as before, September 4th through December 25th. Again, unprecedented. Booked by December 25th. Again, depends on the resort you pick as to what your savings is going to be. Again, you must be a resident of those states. They will verify your residency. So don't try to pull a fast one, people from Massachusetts. restrictions apply on the type of room, things like that. Again, the Book with the Confidence applies to this as well. And what I asked my agents for on this one is, what's your tip on this? And they want to remind folks that even though it's off the room of your reservation, it can still be applied to a package, but it's off the room portion of your package. So if you've already booked a package and you say, well, I booked a package, I don't qualify. Yes, you do. You can get the discount off the room portion of that package. So something else that's going on too is Florida resident discounts up to 35% off have been extended through the same dates as those two promotions, and annual pass holder discounts of up to 40% off for the same dates as well. So we're talking some unprecedented discounts and savings being released for what's obvious reasons, right?
Through the holidays.
Yeah. We all know that Disney's attendance and resort capacities are not to where they want them to be. So Disney's trying to fill these resorts up. So these are excellent, excellent opportunities for folks to book. I have some examples of pricing, but I do want to just start out and say that I did ask to go to my agents and say, listen, when we first did this, we knew availability was wide open. What are you finding now? And for the most part, we're finding wide open availability for these packages. I believe the Boardwalk Villas and something else, the Yacht Club, might have had some capacity issues that agents couldn't get bookings at those resorts. So some of them are filling up for sure, but it's still pretty wide open. All right, I'm going to give you some examples of savings here. Bear with me as I go through sort of the statistics of these. One of our agents, Chris Vorobek, booked someone for October 7th through the 13th of 2020 at the Caribbean Beach Resort, applying the annual pass holder discount. They saved the client over $600, but he was very excited about the fact that they originally wanted a certain room type, and that room type wasn't available. But when he called back and he got the discount applied, he was able to get them that room type, which is just something else that our agents do for our clients, is that they're always out there trying to find that thing that you wanted and get you the best discount. Carrie Mihalik booked someone for November 3rd through November 20th at the November 3rd.
What the hell was that?
I think I had a mini stroke.
Okay, apparently. Lord in heaven. You are turning into your, God rest his soul, you are turning into your father more and more every day.
I apologize for the dogs. Give us a second. All right, guys.
They're sensing your stroke.
They are. They're my security dogs. All right. November, turning into my father, I already have. November 3rd through November 10th.
I was giving you the benefit of the doubt.
In a preferred view room, that this client has tickets for two adults. Carrie, again, saved the client over $600, $630. Applying the magic is here. Karen Adamakis, September 26th through October 3rd, 2020 at the POP, with a six-day base ticket for two adults. Saved the client over $300. And that was one of the state-specific tickets, state-specific discounts that was available. I got a bunch more, but I wanted to. So one of the ones I wanted to really point out to folks is Mike Finucci had a client who booked under the rebooking discount. Do we all remember that when Disney first opened up and they released free dining, but then they took away the dining? So people got a discount and all that stuff. It's someone at Boulder Ridge Villas. There's someone at Wilderness Lodge, and he was able to move them to Boulder Ridge Villas and save them over $1,200 buying the discount and moving them. So really, really impressive stuff going on.
Yeah, well,
I'm really happy with the agents.
Well, as you mentioned, it's unprecedented for us to see not necessarily the amount of the discount, but the availability and length of the discount, and to have it applying across annual pass holders, drive market residents, package reservations. That's the part that is really unprecedented. And I have to do a quick update here. We just passed $100,000.
Oh my.
Wow.
We just passed We just passed $100,000. We are up to $13,565 now in direct donations. So we are less than 1,500 away from watching Craig in a future show, in a future,
the
future time. Now, well, we don't have the clippers. We're less than 1,500 away from watching Craig shave his head, and we're less than 7,000 away from watching me shave mine. This is unbelievable. And I will tell you now that I believe we are about 20,000, or I'll get an exact number for you in a moment, because I know Steve Amos is watching, and he's going to text me in a moment to tell me what the number is. We are very close to our $1 million, folks. We are closer than I thought we were going to be in this event. So for those of you that are watching this after the fact, I apologize, but I am going to pop in with little things like this, because right now this is going out live as part of our marathon show. This thing's just refreshing in front of me, and Stephen Amos called it a stock ticker, earlier, and that's exactly what it feels like. So this is just incredible. This is incredible. Anyway, we'll get back to what we were talking about. How unprecedented.
So I just want to say, before you get back, can I say something?
Sure.
I was whispering to Kevin, the thing you could hear me whispering.
Yeah, because you
didn't know our mic was on.
You whispered a decibel five. Yeah.
Was that in the time I started watching at 10, but then we had a cutoff to get in place for the show. From the time I started watching at 10 until I think it was 10:45 when Pam ended, you had done $10,000. There was an extra $10,000 in donations,
yep,
or raised for the auction. I believe at this point it's now $25,000.
I want to say we started about 84,000 this morning. Yeah. It's been over $25,000 raised in a very short amount of time. So
we still have 10, 11 hours to go, right?
I'm just getting warmed up. I haven't started dancing yet.
Jerry Lewis.
And you know what? Look, I'm going to warn everybody.
He's going to start sweating.
I got very little sleep last night. So I'm punchy now. Imagine what I'm going to be like at 10 o'clock tonight. So anyway, all right. You know, we're talking about how unprecedented these discounts are. And obviously, COVID has had a massive impact in terms of who can travel to Disney, who is willing to travel to Disney. And if you hear tapping again, that's just Dolly. Federico, I want to come to you because one of the markets that has been really cut off completely coming into the United States is anybody from outside the country. I know you're feeling that frustration as well.
Yeah, well, most of the places that we're living in Latin America, we're not allowed to, the borders are not open yet. So we're not allowed to travel. And I think that has affected a lot the confidence of people wanting to make trips for this year, because we don't know how things are going to go. I mean, it's different if you travel from inside the United States, but for us, it's more complicated. I have a trip for October. My plane has already been changed, but hopefully the borders are going to be open and everything's going to be fine for my trip. But we still don't know. I think our governments in Latin America are still figuring out how to handle all of this. So
I think all governments around the world are trying to figure out how to handle this. But yeah, that, I mean, obviously Disney relies heavily on international travel coming into the park. So what you're seeing is it's unprecedented for that reason that, you know, and I had said this too in the, months ago that even before, you know, before Disney opened, I said, you know, just because they open doesn't mean people are going to come. And I think that's kind of surprised them a little bit that they figured, okay, because it's always been busy. It's always been folks rushing to get in, trying to get in. And the reality hitting that, oh, wait a second, you know, because they're at 30% capacity now. And, you look like you have something that you want. Oh, no.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. Oh my God, 107,000.
Oh my gosh.
This is insane. Never seen anything like it. I'm sorry. I'm going to have like outbursts, throughout the show. It's like, look down and I see these numbers. I'll have to make John's stroke noise.
Patent pending.
Let's extend that conversation now, though. Let's pivot over to Disney Cruise Line. It's one of the things I want to talk about. I talk to a lot of people. I've got a lot of friends in different places, and I always hear things. And I thought it was very telling that for a very long time, I was hearing nothing about Disney Cruise Line. I mean, it was
silence.
An unusual, like the silence was deafening. And I just always said in the back of my head that once the chatter started, we'd know something was getting ready to happen. Chatter is starting. I'm going to make a prediction. Within the next 3 or 4 weeks, we're going to hear an announcement, an opening date announcement.
You think it's going to be that long?
I don't think they're ready yet. Because, well, look, as of right now, until the CDC gives them clearance to cruise, doesn't matter what they want to do. And right now, the CDC is saying October 31st. So I think we're going to hear something. But everybody's like, they know that the ships are all docked and they know there's work being done on the ships. And everybody's asking, oh, I wonder what they're doing. They're not adding a new club. Okay. They're not doing dry dock stuff. They are retrofitting these ships for COVID.
Yeah. Plexiglass everywhere.
They are retrofitting these ships for COVID. That is what is going on right now. And it was a story, the thing that tipped over the edge for me, because like I said, I've been hearing chatter and stuff, but what tipped me over the edge was a story we posted a few days ago on dclfan.com, that during a recent board of trustees meeting for the port of Galveston, one of the ports that Disney Cruise Line sails out of, port director and CEO Roger Rees shared information from his talks with Disney Cruise Line, where Disney Cruise Line stated that they're anticipating aiming for 70% occupancy when the ships relaunch. In the article, it was mentioned that for most cruise lines, 30% is the break-even point. 30% occupancy is where they make their money back. And then everything after that is profit. So it was kind of surprising that Disney was saying 70%. Port Canaveral CEO John Murray also had mentioned that they're going to be enforcing arrival times. You know, like right now, like when you're going on a cruise and you make, you know, your appointment for when you show up and everybody just shows up at 11 anyway, that's not going to be allowed. Now, as interesting as that is, when you start getting into this minutia, when I'm hearing stories being released about occupancy rates, stories being released about the policy of how they're going to handle port arrivals, they're getting ready to make an announcement. They're getting ready to make an announcement. What do we think? Well, first of all, I think, honestly, if they actually do go with 70% occupancy this year, I think that's going to be incredibly irresponsible.
Irresponsible?
Irresponsible, absolutely. The parks, where the vast majority of people are outdoors most of the time, or at 30% capacity, and they're not filling that.
I mean, maybe they're saying 70%, hoping that, maybe knowing, hey, we may not get 70%, and just going for it. I mean, the parks as well, they're at 30% capacity, but they're not getting 30. Yeah. They're not getting filled.
Just because they say, right, doesn't mean it's going to happen, because, yeah.
Well, let me ask this question of everybody, Craig. And oh, Craig, I never even introduced you when I went around the room, did I?
Ahoy, ahoy. You did. Great to be here.
There he is.
I noticed that, too.
There he is. Okay, I'm just going to give a shout-out to my friend Chandra McCall.
Oh.
Thank you so much. She just funded a wish.
Oh, my Lord.
Wow. She just funded a wish.
That's incredible.
And she's going to be very so angry sweet at me that I said this live, but
she is so sweet.
You are something else, man.
I also, if you could give me a second here, too, in the
and we're at 20,675 in direct revenue. We're all shaving our heads.
There goes your head.
Thank you, Chandra. That's why she did it.
In the chat room, I just want to, we don't usually call out people in the middle of shows, but I wanted to recognize the FTM22.
Go lay down.
Who is saying, if you cannot donate due to finances, please put a money symbol in the chat. I am making a donation to represent those people. And I think
that's
really, really
awesome.
So,
what an awesome idea.
Folks, we're going to do it. We're going to hit $1 million today. We're going to hit, I can't believe it. I was all set to do a thing for the rest of the year to get us there by my birthday.
A thing?
Well, you know.
Right.
A way.
Right.
To get us there by my birthday. I'm still going to. But
does it involve shaving?
What's that?
Does it involve shaving?
His eyebrows. That's already taken care of.
Oh, no. Never the eyebrows. The eyebrows. The only hair that's not falling out. We're not losing that.
I think it should be non-public areas.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay. That went south.
Yeah, really. Well, of course.
Well, that's where your mind went, Teresa.
What?
All right. So, everybody back.
We're here. We're
back
here.
Now. Everybody in this room, they start sailing in November. Who's going?
I would go.
Teresa?
Yeah. I'm slightly high risk.
Craig?
For me, it's I would, but I can't because of Kylie. But I would in a if she would let me or someone would pay for a hotel room for a couple weeks afterwards, then yeah, I would. She'd miss me.
John?
We actually have, this is not a Disney cruise, we have a celebrity cruise booked in October, that we are, November, that we're actually really, really looking forward to going. So, yeah, we would sail in November. I want to back up a minute, though. One of the things about the capacity on the ship is CLIA has already mandated that they have to leave 15% of their staterooms empty for isolation purposes and quarantine purposes. So 30% is above and beyond what that is already. So I think that that's a significant thing to point out, is that cruise lines will go more above what's being recommended to them to keep people safe.
And I'm hearing different chatter. I'm hearing that November will probably cancel soon.
Well, yeah. Cruises. My chatter isn't saying they're going to start like in 4 weeks, that we're going to hear an announcement about when they are starting within the next 4 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks, is my guess that we're, you know, because that's what everybody's asking, right? That's the real question on everybody's mind. When are they going to announce what they're doing? You know, they've been great in terms of moving people in the 125% stateroom credits and things like that. But we want to know, like, okay, what are you doing when these ships reboot? Regardless of whether it's this year or next year, they're going to have COVID measures in place, right? That's going to be a part of our lives for a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. And watch.
I also think they're looking to see the effect of actual flu season.
Yeah.
How flu season affects them.
Well, and Federico, what about you? If they announce.
I would, but I have a question about the ports, because you mentioned this before. Here in Cartagena, Colombia, they closed the port they didn't allow a Disney Cruise Line ship to stop at Cartagena when all this started. And I was wondering what's going to happen with that, because I think one of the big things about making the decision of sailing is when and where is the ship going to stop? Because if the cases are very high there, is Disney going to change itineraries or not stop there? I think that's going to have, at least for me, something to do with the decision of where I'm going to go.
Well, that goes to part of the chatter I've been hearing, that they are... they're in negotiations with the island of St. Thomas to tender off of Megan's Bay, to run tenders back and forth to the beach. We know they are looking at logistics on Castaway Key, for how they can, you know, they're not going to be able to just go to ports and like, okay, everybody go have a good time and then come on back. But you can also look to what some of the cruise lines in Europe are doing, where they've created these shore excursions that are, you know, it's basically you're in a bubble. You're in a social bubble from the time you get off the ship till the time you get back on the ship. And I know there was a story, I think it was MSC Cruises. One family decided on their shore excursion they were going to go off on their own. They were not allowed back on the ship. They were not allowed back on the ship. They said, well, send you your stuff, but you're out. You're out. So, but I think, like I said, you're hearing these. Now I'm starting to hear chatter, which tells me something, that things are happening, things are developing. And I think we are going to hear an announcement in the next few weeks or the next month.
I think a big part of it, I mean, because when this started, I was, you know, saying that I would not go to Disney World, not specifically because of COVID, but just because of the policies in place. It was like, I think it'd be uncomfortable to walk around all day in the heat with a mask and all this stuff. But now that I have, like, I did go to Epcot and got to experience it and everything, it's the most social distance place I've been since COVID started. I mean, if I go to the grocery store, if I go anywhere else, I mean, everyone's just kind of on top of everybody. And Disney was the place where I've like, hey, I would absolutely take a vacation here right now. And, you know, there was barely any wait times. There were – everything ran efficiently. Not all the restaurants and stuff were open, but I thought it was a good trade-off. I'm like, you know, the ticket price isn't necessarily cheaper or anything than it used to be, but the fact that I can go on everything I want to go on and get to experience most of the things I want to experience, I can, you know, miss out on fireworks or a couple of other things and still feel good about my trip. So – if Disney Cruise Line is going to be anything like that,
yeah, the question.
Yeah,
how will it be?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's going to be hard, you know, especially if this is true and they end up doing 70% occupancy. You're on a floating tin can. Mm-hmm. A lot of what goes on at Disney Cruise Line takes place indoors. It'd be very hard to socially distance with 70% occupancy. 30%, absolutely. 30%, absolutely, you can do it. 70%, you can't.
I don't think they could get it.
I don't think they can get away with it. But it remains to be seen. But you gave me a good segue into the next story. When you talk about Epcot and mm-hmm. you know, walking around wearing a mask, well, apparently one jackass thought the rules didn't apply to him. An Orlando man was arrested earlier this month at Walt Disney World after hitting an Epcot security guard following an argument over the resort's face covering policy. Enrico Turo, 35, and his family were visiting the theme park on the afternoon of August 14th and were, according to the security guard, wearing improper masks. After visiting their vehicle, the family returned to the entrance but were turned away again when one child's mask still did not comply with Disney's rules. According to the arrest report, Turo began cussing and told the security guard to call the police, adding, "They'll have to shoot me to leave."
Oh.
Okay. When the guard attempted to use his phone to call a supervisor, Turo hit him in the head with an open hand. Turo's wife pushed him away. However, the report said that the male continued cussing and began threatening that he knew where he lived and he was going to kill him. The guard finally contacted a supervisor and sheriff's deputies were called. The guard agreed to press charges and Turo was arrested for misdemeanor battery. I think we already talked about this, didn't we? As I'm reading this story, did we already talk about this?
We were supposed to.
Okay. first of all, good for him. Good for the security guard for pressing charges. A lot of times they don't. A lot of times cast members do not press charges when they're assaulted. And you know, fortunately, I believe this is the first story that we're talking about since the parks reopened where there was this kind of altercation regarding mask wearing. I think that says a lot about, generally speaking, how people have been behaving. Has anybody heard anything else?
I saw a video. There was no physical contact, but a father was up in a cast member's face. I think it was at Pop Century, about their child not being able to wear the mask. And he seemed like he was just out to create a video, really. Mm. But the cast members were very good. I mean, he was up in their face, but no.
That's why I couldn't work there.
I just don't get why you would ask them to call the police, and then when you pull out your phone and call the police, they hit you in the face.
Like, right?
I
mean, was it open?
Yeah, like you literally ask them. I'm not going to get
into the mask debate, but at Disney World, there's no debate. It's private property.
So they had masks on, but there was something improper about
them. I don't know what was improper, but
a lot of times people wear like the, I call them buffs, like from Survivor, but where it's like a wrap.
Oh, and yeah.
The gator.
And those are a gator. Those aren't allowed.
They probably was something like that.
And, you know, like I said, not going to get into a mass debate, but there is no debate at Disney World. It is private property. It is privately owned property. They have the right to tell you what you can and can't wear.
Yeah.
And how you can or can't wear it. That extends to masks.
And they have the right to tell you to leave, right?
And they can trespass you and you're never allowed on their property again. Which is, I think, what should happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you know going in, no matter what your feelings are, like if you know going into it that they require masks, like if you don't want to comply with that, don't go. Like right? It's just that simple.
Or if you can't comply for whatever reason
right.
you have,
right.
then just don't go.
You
wait.
Just can't go.
Exactly. Like, you know, yeah. if I'm high risk, so there are certain things I have to avoid. Mm-hmm. It's not that those places should cater to me because I'm high risk. Mm-hmm. It's my responsibility mm-hmm. to say I can't go there.
Yeah.
Opt out, yeah.
You know, would I like to go? Sure. Would I love to go and fly somewhere and go? Yeah, sure. But you know what? This is just the reality right now. Mm-hmm. You know, and Federico, let me ask you, you know, we talk about how it is here in the U.S. How is it? Is it the same way in Colombia with the masks? Or, you know, you got some people that want to, some people that don't?
No, we have a mandatory rule. You're not allowed to leave your house without a mask because the police may give you a ticket. But I just wanted to say that if you're traveling from another country like here, where they ask you to wear a mask all the time, you have to know the specific rules in Disney World because we're more flexible here in Colombia of the kind of masks that you're allowed to wear than you are in Disney World. So just because you can wear it here, it doesn't mean they're going to allow you to wear it on the parks. But yeah, we're kind of getting used to having them all the time here in Argentina, I know as well, but here in Colombia, all the time you have to wear it.
Doesn't it seem like it's when you go out to the store yeah. and it's just, at first it was like, this is odd and yeah. very surreal, but now it's just part of the way it
I'm
is.
I'm used to it now.
I get out, I pick out the mask I'm going to wear that day, and
yeah,
off I go.
At home, I keep mine in my car. Like mm-hmm. I have like a box of them in the car. Mm-hmm. I didn't even realize because I had something delivered yesterday and I didn't have a mask in the house. So obviously I just walked out and like to get my stuff and the person's there and like will not come near me yeah. because I don't have a mask. And I'm like, well, we have an issue because my mask's in my car. Well, like I didn't think about
I
it.
I keep
being
sparing
in the
car, my yeah. handbag. I've got them in the house in several mm. locations because Kelvin has to, every time he goes to work, he's, you know, he's got to put
them. Oh, yeah, no, I've got them.
I'm reading a report of people buying or selling masks that are made of open mesh, like a
fishnet
string bag.
Stocking?
I'm sorry?
Like a fishnet stocking?
Very much so, yes. And that these are causing a great deal of disturbances because they are following the rules of wearing a mask. But it's not doing anything.
No protection.
There's no protection. So you're going to see arguments over that. These are being sold a lot, I believe.
Going back to the story itself, I don't know about you, but I'm surprised it took this long for there to be an altercation over the masks. I thought for sure we were going to hear about these early on and every day. So
that's what I was saying. I think it says a lot about how they're reopening and also about how, generally speaking, how guests
yeah.
are behaving. Most of the stories I'm hearing, again, it's not 100%, but most at the parks. I want to be specific about this. At the parks, I'm hearing really good reports about how guests are behaving. At Disney Springs, it's another story.
Really?
I'm hearing people are flouting it, are not wearing their masks, are not following social distancing, and some of the restaurants are not adhering to the capacity issues. And I experienced that back in May with the Boathouse. I will not step foot in the Boathouse again because they just had everybody packed in. It was like a normal day. It was like a completely normal day. And I understand that they were closed for capacity Saturday night for mm-hmm. people celebrating Labor Day.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know. I'm assuming that's closed for capacity
at their capacity now.
But still,
yeah.
You know, we certainly haven't heard that. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, and that's the thing. A lot of people who originally planned vacations, some of them are still coming, even if they're not going to Disney, if they're like, oh, it's too, you know, they're not comfortable with it. So they are just doing a trip where they're like, oh, we'll do Disney Springs for a day, and they'll go to the beach or they'll go wherever. And they've already like rented a house or they've planned a vacation already, and it's just easier to keep it and just still go on their trip.
It's insane. So, all right. We're going to move on to another story. Okay. I'm watching this. We're at $112,000.
Oh, my Lord.
We're at $112,000. If we hit $127,975, we hit our million. So what does that give us? About, is that right? 15? Under $16,000. We raised another $16,000 today, which I thought was completely impossible that we would hit that number this morning. Mm. And now I'm like, we may actually pass it. This is now officially the most money we've raised in an auction.
It's crazy.
It's insane. It's insane. But all right, let's move on to another story that I... Where the hell did it go?
Listen, I got to say something about my cough, and my throat is real dry. I do not have...
You better not, woman. You bring COVID into my house, and you're not going to have to worry about coloring your hair. I'm going to...
I got to dry throat.
All right, so... apparently, they're going to be opening up a few new dining locations at the parks. I'm being asked right now how much do we have to raise for you to shave your head?
Oh, I'm not shaving my head. No. Maybe Teresa.
Oh, help. I just colored it.
All right, so Walt Disney World has announced some fun dining options. I know who wrote this. I was wrong. I thought it was Jackie.
I have to do real estate, so I can't. Like, I'm not doing that.
Some fun new dining options coming back to Magic Kingdom and Disney's Hollywood Studios. Cinderella's Royal Table will reopen on September 24th. And the long-anticipated return of the wonderful dining establishment that is Hollywood and Vine, coming on September 25th. So 2020 hasn't been enough of a crap show.
Odd choices, though, because, you know, one is traditionally a buffet and one's a character meal traditionally. So, like,
and well, beyond that, the food at Cinderella's Royal Table can charitably be called mediocre. Well, the food at Hollywood and Vine can charitably be called food. And why in the name of God?
I feel like maybe they're going to do it similar to Beer Garden, because I was shocked when that was still open. And so I went to the counter and I asked them, I'm like, what are you like? How are you doing this? Because, you know, obviously there's the show and there's like people dancing and it's a buffet and literally you just get sat at tables with other families and stuff there. And I was like, this is such an odd choice for a restaurant to keep open. But they've social distanced that really well. So I'm sure they'll have where they just bring it to your table and do like a family style thing. So
yeah, that's what Hollywood Vine is going to be. They're going to bring it family style to the table. And,
shovel it into a trough.
Like tater tots and that kind of thing. Yeah, I guess. So, yeah.
And there'll be no characters at the other one. So it's going to be a limited experience. But I cannot tell you how many people write to us and say, I want to eat in the castle. So just the fact that you're eating in the castle apparently is a big enough deal for people to want to do and not worry about princess interaction. Yeah, but Hollywood and Vine is like, you know, I don't even know why they would bother. Hollywood and Vine.
Well, here's a side of COVID with your crappy food.
Or Tomaine.
Is 50s open?
No.
No?
Not to the best of my knowledge, is it?
It is.
It is open. Oh, I thought it was. I didn't think it was.
No.
Oh, it
is. Okay. So right next door.
Craig pops his head up like a turtle.
As far as I know, they are keeping the lounge door closed, so you can't go into the lounge anymore right now. Maybe if you're eating there. For, you know, if you're waiting for your table, I'm not quite sure on that, but they make every other restaurant wait outside, so I have to imagine that that's the case. But yeah, it's open.
Look, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not eating indoors in this state right now. I'm not. The only places I'll go to eat, there has to be outdoor seating. And yes, it's 900 degrees outside, and it's like eating on the surface of the sun. But if I want to eat out right now, that's the only way I'm going to do it.
Have you?
Yeah.
Have you?
But only outdoor seating. Only outdoor seating.
I make my husband eat outdoors now.
Well, you've been aiming for that for a long time. That has nothing to do with COVID. But What the hell is this doing? Oh, it's opening it in Safari. That's why. I'm looking in Chrome for the story. Keep going back and forth to the auction. I guess Gaston's Tavern just opened on the 4th. Commissary at Hollywood Studios opening on October 8th. So, anybody excited by any of this?
I'm excited that they're opening things, you know, giving you some more options. I think it's just, they're just doing it bit by bit. And maybe they're starting with the crappy stuff, so when the good stuff comes out, we'll be excited.
It's odd that they're both in, everything mentioned is in only Hollywood Studios and Magic Kingdom, though. So, I mean, not that it's a problem for me, I just am surprised that it's localized to those two.
So, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's, I'm not excited. I, you know, one of the things that this is like, like putting a spotlight on for me, very few places to eat outdoors, really, like in terms of sit down dining. You don't have a lot of options for eating outdoors at Disney. I mean, I like the idea of Food and Wine Festival and the, mm-hmm. the booths, because you can go around, you're outdoors. A lot of the quick service places are walk up, they're outdoors, mm-hmm. but you know.
But if they're limiting capacity, who's coming in? And they're.
So- I mean, look, the numbers in Florida are getting better. I'll mm-hmm. say that. But they are so much worse than they were in May when we started reopening again. And I just won't right now. I just don't. I don't feel.
I barely
feel comfortable
out.
Letting you in my house.
I know, right? Oh, stop. You gave me a big hug.
I did.
All right. I've not been out to eat anywhere since this started. We get takeout or, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, Uber Eats. Well, I'm stress eating, which.
Oh, well, look at me. I'm having to cook because nobody delivers to Christmas. It sucks.
That's right. She's moved to Christmas, Florida.
Yeah. Out in the middle of nowhere.
And the town of Bithlow, which is also known as the Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah, you got to go through Bithlow to get to Christmas. I shut my eyes, except when I'm driving.
But you like in the house?
Yeah. Like in the.
It's like little house. It's like Little House on the Prairie out there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Little House on the Prairie. It's Tiny House on the Prairie. But no, we're loving it. I do. It is hard not to get used to not having food delivered to you, because I was big on that in Orlando. You know, DoorDash, Uber Eats.
Oh, yeah, I'm practically on a first name basis with.
Oh, my delivery people. Yeah, but now I got nothing.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's talk about this next story. SeaWorld Entertainment revealed Friday that it will not bring back some of the thousands of workers it had furloughed earlier on amid the pandemic. This is according to the Orlando Sentinel. In a Securities and Exchange Commission filing that came just before 5 p.m. last Friday, the Orlando-based company said it had committed to a plan of termination impacting some of the company's furloughed employees. Okay. Oh, he put up a slide. Okay. Craig just walked in front of my camera. I'm like, what the hell is going on?
That shocked me. I was like,
yeah, I was really surprised. I was like, my God.
Mickey Mouse operation. So, look. You know, we are now in month 6 mm-hmm. of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised it took this long.
Yeah.
And how long before we see this? This is where it starts getting bad, because these are no longer, you know, you're not furloughed. You're fired. Okay. Your job is gone. And unfortunately, that's the sector of our economy here in Florida. I can't speak, or in Central Florida, can't speak to the rest of the country, but it seems like it's the service industry, which are the people who can least afford mm-hmm. to be out of a job, mm-hmm. who are losing their jobs. And I know, you know, your husband works at Universal. I have several friends that work at Universal. Mm-hmm. They're all saying to me, we're just wondering when.
Yeah.
We're just wondering when. And now, you know, Disney, had, you know, the last thing that come out of Disney was that they were extending the furlough for a lot of their cast members. But I don't believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't believe they've announced that they're doing any permanent, that they're permanently letting anybody go. But how long, John, how long do you think before we start seeing it at the other theme parks? I mean, SeaWorld financially was in the worst position of all three of them coming into this. The damage that Blackfish did to the Blackfish documentary did to their business, they were already reeling from that. So it makes sense they're the first domino to fall. But how long do you think before we see it at Universal and World?
Well, again, a lot will depend on if they're able to turn things around and bring people into the resorts. But the talk amongst management is that the furloughs are going to continue for a long time, probably through the end of the year. That doesn't mean their people are being let go. It just means it sort of extended their furloughs. But the problem is that these people can't afford not to work. Mm-hmm. So they're going to go and they're going to go and find jobs, and they're going to do what they need to do to survive and keep their families fed and pay for their houses. So what's going to happen when this all ends? You know, is Disney just going to expect people to come back and do the jobs they did before? I don't think that's realistic. So this is going to be a domino effect for well into 2021.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's something that came up at the beginning when Disney had furloughed people, was who will necessarily be left when it's time to call people back. And if you've already gotten something else, and let's say you're working now at Sam's Club or Costco, as far as like service industry, they actually pay pretty well. They definitely pay better than Disney does. So it's a thing of where you may not want to go back at that point. As much as you loved the perks and that stuff, a lot of people keep their job at Disney and they trade off the fact that they're making less money because they get annual, you know, not annual passes, but like they get some park entrance. Right. They have a really good benefit.
And the magic system. That's where most, if you're there because you want to be there.
Right. But if you've now found like, that's the thing for a lot of people where this is like the kick of like, okay, I got to go figure something else out.
It's reality. You have to think about that. And I know with my husband, when the whole thing started, he was off for 6 weeks, mm-hmm. not working at all.
Yeah.
And then when they brought him back at a lower hour, you know, fewer mm-hmm. hours, and now he's back up to full hours. But, you know, you always have to worry, is that the way it's, you know, is it going to stay that way?
Keep talking.
Yeah. I was just going to say, like, one of the saddest experiences I've had with furloughed cast members was I was at Publix a week or two ago, and the cashier was just going to mute them for the time being. They got up.
Oh, it's Johnny and Kevin.
Yeah.
They're dancing.
I was wondering why the register cashier was like so talkative, and I'm like, okay, this is almost too much. And then he started talking about Disney because I think I might have thrown in one of like the Disney ice cream sandwiches or something. And that's when he's like, he was asking like, well, you love going to the parks and stuff. I'm like, yeah, of course you do. And he's like, well, yeah, but I'm on furlough right now. So it's kind of tough. And then turns out he was actually, he was in guest services as a tour guide. And that's just why he was, I mean, he's gone. And
now he's at Publix.
Like, and there's nothing, working at a grocery store as a cashier or anything is an admirable job, especially in this time.
Yeah, amen.
And they go through a lot, but that's where it's like, this guy is, you can clearly tell just from him doing this that he is so good at delivering the magic and being on and being that person. And it's, you hope that he can get back and all the others can get back to making the magic like they were before, because some, for a lot of those people, that it's not just a job for them. It is their calling. It's what they are meant to be doing. And yeah. I hope they get back soon.
I need one more thing too. Kevin knows somebody who works for Disney, and one of the really sort of sad twists on this is there are a lot of people who work for Disney who are couples. Mm-hmm. So you've got the husband and the wife now both furloughed. You know, if maybe one of them is working somewhere and they're able to get a job, or their job wasn't affected, that's different. But you have to think about both earners in the house now are furloughed indefinitely and don't know when they're going to go back to work. You know?
Yeah. So,
and the fear of being fired means the fear of losing health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, this got took a sad turn.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. But one of the things I wanted to mention, though, it's kind of like it's getting very a tale of two cities
mm-hmm.
in Orlando, because Sean and I work on the real estate side as well mm-hmm. with moving to Orlando, and real estate's booming. And I'm not talking about, you know, $150,000 homes here. I'm talking about $500,000 homes.
Yeah.
Are just, it's...
And it's actually, I was going to say that, I lost track, and then now I just remembered. One of the, my home inspector that I use for all my inspections, as long as he's available, one of the reasons I chose him is because he is a furloughed Disney cast member that also happened to have his inspector's license. And when this started, he went back to doing inspections. And so he'd like to be back at Disney, but is still furloughed. So I was like, okay, well, if he's a good inspector, I'll use him. So I've always used him since then. So actually doing much better than he was. And the same with as far as couples go, like my brother and his girlfriend, they are both in entertainment at Disney. And of course, they do, you know, dinner, you know, they do character meals. So obviously they are just it's an indefinite furloughing at this point because the only cast members in entertainment they called back are people who also have parade training as well. Yeah. So you have to have both. And, you know. For him, he's had to really dive into music, and he performs out and about in different restaurants and that kind of stuff, and is actually enjoying it more. So there are some people on the positive side that, you know, it's working out a little better for them. But the majority, yeah, it's really tough.
Yeah, it is. It as I said before, it really has kind of negative. It's impacting the people that can least afford this.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing that it's so pronounced right now, but you know what? We will continue to hope that this improves. It gets better as time goes on. But I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up because I have got to go to the bathroom.
Thank you for sharing.
I've been sitting here for a couple of hours now.
I think Dolly does too.
Drinking. Yeah, she probably does. And actually, Teresa, I'm going to let you do the auction update because you have access to the.
Oh, I don't know if it's not loading up quickly.
I'll just
give it quickly.
Here.
Oh, okay.
Use that. But I want to thank Federico for joining us this morning. Haven't seen you on the show in a while. We got to make sure we get you on more often as Teresa breaks the studio.
I'm taking it down, Lucy style here.
And you can check out.
Thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure. And Federico runs our Spanish language site, our YouTube channel, Facebook group, Instagram account, See Disney.
And he's cute.
Can I finish my sentence, please? SIDisney.com. SIDisney.com.
Yeah.
Please be sure to check that out. Thank you, John. And Kevin, John.
I'm sorry, Pete. Even if you don't speak Spanish, the way I learned to speak English was looking at videos and things like that. So if you want to learn Spanish, go ahead and follow us on YouTube.
There you go.
Ooh,
great. All right. Thank you, John and Kevin. We're going to see you guys later on tonight for our auction wrap. Well, God only knows where we'll be by then because where are we right now?
Right now we're over 115,000.
Over 115,000.
Isn't that amazing?
So it's incredible. That auction update coming up next. Thank you, Sean, as well, for being here. Craig, thank you for just being you. All right. That is going to do it for our Tuesday show for this week. Stay tuned. If you're watching the live feed right now, I'll be doing an auction update. And then on the other side of that, we'll be back to you live with our Would You Rather segment. So thanks for being with us, folks. Have a great week. And remember, stay out of the damn lakes.